Well, let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10, it'll be a few moments before I get there, but tonight we're going to share on the subject of patience. Patience. And the role that patience has in our lives. How many of you know I minister out of my overflow? So I want to talk about patience because mine's being tested. And so that's a good time to share. Actually, 2 Peter chapter 1 speaks of seven pillars of personal character and how that God has called us not only to get saved and miss a devil's hell and have a beautiful eternity with God, and that's important, but there's more to Christianity than just missing hell and making heaven or missing hell and being a part of God's eternal kingdom. God has called us to be sons and daughters and reflect His nature in the earth. God's called us to be a people of character, and we've been looking at those seven pillars out of 2 Peter chapter 1 of personal character. Peter says, look, it's great that you've gotten saved, it's great that you know the Lord and that you have faith in the true and the living God, but now that you're saved and you belong to Him, add to your faith these seven things. He's not saying we have to add these things to get saved. He's saying because you are saved and the presence of God is in your heart and in your lives, these seven things are things that you should be seeing come into your life. They make you fruitful. They make you to never be barren, but productive in the kingdom. And they bless God's heart. Amen. Our Father's heart is warm when He looks at His kids and He sees these pillars. The first one was virtue. And then we're to add to virtue knowledge. To knowledge, temperance or self-control. To self-control, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. I like that one. How many of you know we're just supposed to be kind to one another? Man, you could build a church on that revelation alone. Let's just be nice to each other. Brotherly kindness. And then the seventh pillar is God's kind of love in our lives. All right, let's talk about patience and the patience that we're to add to our faith. This is a major part of our character development. The word in the Greek literally means cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. Endurance. Now, I've known some of you for years, and there's no doubt about it that you've been enduring some things, but you ain't been cheerful about it. Amen? You're just hard-headed. There's a difference in being strong-willed or hard-headed and God's patience working in your life. We not only endure a great fight of afflictions, we not only endure opposition and setbacks in this life, but we have a cheerful spirit about it because we trust God. We know God and we love God. And more than that, we know He loves us. So it means cheerful endurance. It means consistency. Consistency. Man, that is a part of character. Who are you at Walmart? Because that's who you really are. Amen? I don't want to be one person in the pulpit and another person at the house and another person in public. Amen? That's a lack of character. That's a lack of personal character and authenticity. I need to be consistent in my faith, consistent in my walk with the Lord and in my love for the Lord and His people. It also means steadfastness. In 1 Timothy 3:3, we have the qualifications for an elder, a bishop. He must not be given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler. How many of you know going to fisticuffs is not going to accomplish the will of God in the church? And yet I grew up in circles that I literally saw a knock-down, drag-out fight at the altar one night between the preacher and a drunk. And the deacons got involved, and I'm not sure who was hitting who anymore. I was just stunned. But every one of them would have told you they love God. You can't build a church fighting and fussing and brawling and things of that nature. You have to be a person of patience. And when it comes to working in the house of God, working with the people of God, if you're going to be a leader in the house of the Lord, you're going to have to learn patience and to be patient. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded." That's half the church. Now, the ones that didn't laugh, you'd add half. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. In other words, there's things we have to endure in this life, even in our relationships, and we need to be cheerful about it, and that's supernatural. That's the power of God working in our lives. Romans 12:12 says, be patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. John 16:33 again. And we have to be patient in tribulation. We have to be patient in the setbacks that are going to happen in this life. Even when you hear God, even when you know you've heard God and you're loving God and you're obeying God, you're going to be tribulated, you're going to be afflicted, you're going to have challenges and opposition to the Spirit of God in your heart and the Spirit of God in your life. And you have to learn to be patient, continuing in prayer. 2 Timothy 2:3, one of my favorite personal passages and brings me great comfort. Paul told Timothy to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Man, we're in a war zone, amen? How many of you have been alive long enough and even served God long enough to know that when you got saved, yes, it was like a wedding. Yes, you are the bride of Christ. But how many of you know we're not walking through this life with a wedding dress on? You better have an armor on. You better put on the armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And after doing all to stand, you've got to just stand. And that is supernatural patience, and we have to have it. All right, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30-31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Notice that you need to call back to your remembrance when God showed you something. When you were illuminated, you had to fight a fight of afflictions. When you hear from God, when God starts something in your life, you can count on opposition coming. And so if you don't understand patience, if you don't understand endurance, you're going to get faint of heart. You're going to give up on the will of God, on the things of God. He says, you call to your remembrance that once you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. I know King James got that wrapped up a little bit. Paul's saying, you not only heard God and believed God, now you're in a fight, a battle, with demonic opposition. You became my friend. You identified with me, and now all my enemies became your enemies. There's some of you think you want to be my friend. Okay, that didn't fly yet. Yeah, did you know if you was to become really my friend, you now would not only have all the opposition that's coming at you now independent of me, if you connect with me, all the opposition against me may come against you. And that's what Paul was saying. Man, you're under a great fight of afflictions just breathing. Now you've identified with me, and everybody that hates me hates you, and they're attacking you. Look at verse 34. For you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Now I want to meet some of these people. Some of these people who took the spoiling of their goods joyfully because they had a heavenly, eternal perspective. And yeah, I lost some stuff here. I lost my goods. But I'm just going to take it joyfully because my priorities are right. My heart is in heaven, a better place, better promises. And this world is temporal. And while God wants to bless you, and while you can acquire things, and you can have things, as long as things do not have you, you better seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And even with things being added unto them in this life, you can lose them. And they lost their stuff under affliction and took it joyfully because they were heavenly minded. Man, that's the kind of people I want to go to church with. Look at verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. Everybody say patience. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. We have need of patience. I don't care where you're at in your walk with God, you still have need of patience. And you better keep doing the will of God that you might receive the promise. Verse 37 says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, My soul shall have no pleasure in him. Did you know God has a soul? Did you know God has feelings? Do you know he's real? He's a person, not like a person like we're a person with the limitations we have, but God is not some force of good against evil or energy of the universe. God is a person. He has feelings. And he says his soul will have no pleasure in me if I draw back. When it comes to God's will, when it comes to obeying him, it will always cost us something. It will always come with a dogfight. It will always come with opposition. And God says, the just shall live by faith. But my soul will have no pleasure in them that draw back. Now, the only exception to that is when we're wrong and we need to repent. If you're in sin, you need to draw back. Repent. If you missed God, and that can happen to any of us, then we need to draw back. We need to recircle the wagon, I usually say. We need to draw back. He's not talking about that. He's talking about we know what God said. We know he called us to do something. And we were shocked when it was hard. We know what his will is. It's clear. It's not obscure. It's not opaque. It is clear. And yet, as we step into God's will, bam, there's opposition. As we step into God's will and we're illuminated, suddenly, we go through a great fight of afflictions, and God is saying, you've got to press through that, and that's what patience is all about. And your daily life and serving God and being the real deal and fellowshipping with God on a regular daily basis is going to be developing that patience as you resist back when you're resisted by the will of God. By the will of God. Nothing of eternal value comes easily. Do you think your salvation was easily won and provided? It cost God everything to save you. It cost a lot of pain, a lot of opposition. Can I get a witness? Amen. We know enough of the cross. We know enough of Jesus to know the price that he paid was incredible. It didn't come easy. And the will of God, while it's easy in principle, while it's easy because his commandments are not grievous because I love him so much, doesn't mean it comes without opposition. You're going to have a dogfight on your hands if you're going to try to stay married. Okay. You're going to have a dogfight on your hand if you're going to try to live godly on the job and in the workplace. You're going to have opposition. You're going to have challenges. And God's will be opposed in your life. And you have need of patience. And so you've got to endure. You've got to press through those things. Verse 39 says, but we, and this is good. But we, let me read it this way. But we here at Victory Life. Amen. Hey, women. Hey, everybody. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. See, when you trust God, when you step out on anything, the war is in the soul. It's in your mind of doubting, wondering, wavering. It hurts. It's too hard. I'm not sure if I can do it. And as you stand by faith, as you pursue God in the midst of that opposition, patience will be developed. Endurance, you will get stronger in your character. Go to Romans chapter 5. We all have need of patience. And if we'll do the will of God, we will see the promises. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, the scriptures say, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. Everybody say patience. Patience. Through faith and patience, you inherit the promises. Not through faith and faith alone. Bible faith never stands alone. It's faith and patience that cause you to inherit the promises. God's made you individual promises. God's made us corporate promises. And we will inherit those promises as we're faithful to do the will of God, no matter how it feels, no matter what it looks like, no matter what oppositions we face. Be not slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience, everybody say patience, through faith and patience inherited the promises. You've got to hang on. You've got to endure. It doesn't always come easily. And many times the things of God are not very instant as well. They take time. God has answered every prayer I've ever prayed. Now, if you are struggling with that, you need to get that series on prayer. God has answered every prayer I have ever prayed. Now, sometimes it was no, but that's an answer. Come on, let's be honest. Sometimes I've asked God some stuff and he said no. And later, looking back, I said, thank you, Jesus. Somebody ought to write a song about unanswered prayers. That'll hit the rest of you later. I'm glad God didn't answer that with a yes, is what I'm talking about. It was no, and he knew something I didn't know, and later in hindsight, I could look back and go, wow, it was no, and thank God it was no. But you know, a lot of times it's yes, and by faith I have it now, and by faith I believe I receive now, and yet it takes time. This location, I had a vision, an open vision in 1993 of a great harvest in Sherman, Texas. 1993. I went to the elders. They bore witness with it. We felt like it was God. And there's a great harvest to be reaped in Sherman, Texas. And we began to head in this direction and bam. And head in that direction and bam. And head in this direction and bam. 1993. A clear word from God, and I can even, if I meditate on it long enough, I can feel the excitement, the certainty. It's God. It's ours. It's a great harvest. We're going to reap it. We're that close, finally. Saturday night is the beginning of the fulfillment. The Saturday night service is the beginning of a fulfillment of a vision I had in 1993. I can't tell you how close we've gotten, and we could feel the momentum. We could feel a breakthrough and that there is going to be a reaping of a great harvest, and bam, hit a wall. And then search our hearts. Did we hear God? Yeah, we heard God. Are we in sin? Are we in rebellion? Are we any kind of disobedience? Rebellion's not too hard to discern. You know when you're in rebellion, but you can sure miss God. And then it's like, no, 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 stand. And after you've done all to stand, whine about it a while longer and complain and murmur and question God. No, after doing all to stand, stand therefore and keep your loins girt about with truth and keep that breastplate of righteousness on. Do the right thing. Always do the right thing. Some of you want to defeat the devil and you get all mixed up. You defeat the devil by just doing the right thing. The breastplate of righteousness. Keep the helmet of salvation on. Keep your mind clear. Keep your focus on this great salvation and the cross and things of that nature. Don't forget the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That just keep taking it to Him and taking it to Him. And that shield of faith, it will quench all the fiery darts of the devil. And if you stand, I guarantee you, you have need of patience. But through faith and patience, you will inherit the promises. I will inherit the promises. I will see a great harvest. But can I get a witness? I've had to be patient. And how many of you know by the very nature of the word, you lose it sometimes? I want patience too, but I want it now. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't come that way. But it's a part of character. It's a part of the plan of God. I still have need of patience. And after I've done the will of God, come on, I will inherit the promise. The promise. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh. Now I want you to underline worketh, patience. Tribulation worketh patience. You have need of patience. Through faith and patience you inherit the promise. Be patient with one another. What works my patience? See, I know you don't want to say it even. I don't like it either. But we're going to try it again. I have need of patience. You have need of patience. And after you and I have done the will of God, we will inherit the promise. And we're not going to be slothful. but followers of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. What works patience? Now, some of you just said that out of obedience. You still are rebelling. Because in the natural, that's not good news. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound like let's shout and have a runaway. But tribulation worketh patience. If there's not something you're waiting on and fighting for, you don't need patience. Patience is important. It's vital to the Christian faith and to the promises of God in our lives. He says that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope doesn't make us ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, listen to the New Living Bible, the New Living Translation. And I really do like this. Verse 3. We can rejoice too when we run into problems. Anybody ran into a problem? Some of you running, but not into. And that's what's wrong. We can't be running from our problems. We need to run into the problems. It's just like people have sat through a message like this, and they'll say things like, I don't even know what he's talking about. I don't have any opposition to the devil. Well, if you're running parallel, of course you don't have any opposition to the devil. If you're living in sin, you don't have any opposition to the devil. Now, you're going to have a troubled life, but that's just the law of sowing and reaping. Cause and effect, consequences. And death will come into your life, even running with the devil. But not from the devil, from your own actions and seeds you've sown. The warfare we have with the devil is because we're running upstream in a world and a devil going downstream. And just by nature of the two kingdoms and this life, you're the body of Christ. The world is united to Belial. I mean, just by nature alone, you have problems. And he says, I love it. He says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they're good for us. These are times I wish I hadn't came and heard me. I mean, you're just not paying attention if that doesn't bother you a little bit or convict you, that they're good for us. Nobody in the natural and in your carnal man looks at problems as good for us, but you're not a carnal man. Okay, that didn't fly. By faith, you're not a carnal man. You're a spiritual man. You don't walk after the flesh. You're walking after the Spirit. And after the Spirit and after wisdom. You're not just a man. You're a man filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not just human. You are human, but you're not just human. You've got the Word of God. You've got the wisdom of God. You've got the Spirit of God. And you have eyes by faith to see that what the world is confused over and whines and complains about is what God is going to use, not send, but use to develop character in my life. These problems are good for you. It's not good for you to not have any problems. It's not good for you to not have any challenges. It's not good for you to be insulated. You'll become wimpy and weak and unproductive and unfruitful. Just nod your head, act spiritual, fool your neighbor. You don't have to believe it. You can renounce it all when you leave. Most of you do. But you, while you sit here, need to go, yes, I see that. That's the Word of God. This stuff is good for us. I didn't say this stuff was good. I didn't say it was from God. I didn't say it feels good. I said it's good for you. And it's only good for you because you're a spiritual man. And it's good for you because you're not going to yield to it. It's good for you because you're going to fight back. It's good for you because you're going to trust God. It's good for you because you're going to take the Word and apply it. Take the Word and apply it. That's why it's good for you. That's why it's good for me. This stuff that happens to me is not good for me, independent of God and fighting back. But with God and fighting back with the Word of God, it works my patience. I just want to read it again. I need to hear it. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they're good for us. They help us learn to endure. And endurance develops strength of character in us, and character strengthens our confident expectations of salvation. Wow. I just wish I could open everybody's head and dump this down in here, because if we could just relate to problems better, we would see unbelievable fruit. We would see character development. We would see even love, a greater love for one another in enduring with one another's trials and in one another's trials. He's not saying bad stuff is good independent of our relationship with God. He's not saying God's doing all this bad stuff to us. I don't know how long it's going to take for a generation to wake up. God doesn't have to do bad things to you. We live in a bad world. We live in a fallen world. Well, God's sending this stuff to teach me something. He doesn't send nothing. Just get up. Amen. Just get up. Life is tough. Life is real. The devil's real. Opposition's real. You got a new life on the inside of you that wars against the darkness that's all around you. And you have need of patience. And after you've done the will of God, after you quit complaining, and after you quit whining about the challenges and opposition that is standing between you and your promise, you endure through faith and patience, through faith and endurance, you will inherit the promise. Go to James chapter 1. Soon I got married, November the 26th, 1980, I believe I receive. That's my final answer. That was 26 years ago. And one of the first things we talked about as husband and wife after our first year of marriage was a home. And having our own home. And for 26 years we've prayed, and 26 years we've endured. 26 years we've lived in the parsonages and been grateful and thankful. Don't misunderstand me in a quick testimonial, but to see our dream come true in the building of our first and last home is an incredible thing for us personally, and how we've had to endure, how we've had to stand. I see people, they've been married 4 years and they're upset that they don't have a house or a home. Especially one as big and as good as your parents that took a whole lifetime. Amen. We've had to endure. We've had to trust God. Still having to endure. Still having to believe God. It's fun even believing with my wife for little things, even for this project. I'm just simply saying that the things in life, the things in the kingdom, they do not come like Hollywood paints the picture or the exceptions to the rule that many of us have heard. But most of the time, come through faith and patience. And I'm not talking about just waiting. I'm talking about endurance. And I'm talking about cheerful endurance. Sue's never complained. She's never held it over me. She's never pressured me. She's never murmured. We've been thankful for all the places God's blessed us to get to live in. But having our own place is something special that we pray for people. And we've helped untold people get their first home before we got ours. Am I all right? And I was going to do all this confidentially and not even say anything ever publicly about, you know, this side of our personal life, but everybody that's helping us build it are friends, and I found out they all talk. So everybody knows what I'm doing, even though I haven't said nothing. I'm just trying to make a point. How many people are giving up, even in their prayer, believing for something instead of enduring and standing and being consistent, and don't quit praying, and don't quit believing. You have need of patience. And after you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. verse 2. I've been out for a couple of weeks, and I'm out of practice. I forgot to start my clock, so I'm just going to start right now. I got a whole hour. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, you don't mean it. James chapter 1, verse 2. Yes. I ought to make you sit there till daybreak. You have need of patience. Somebody said that'd be torture, not patience. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different kinds of temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. See, patience has to be worked. And there's only one thing that works it: trials, testings, tribulation. That's why you can't fall apart when something goes wrong. That's why you can't respond in a negative way of fear or anxiety or offense. Even the things that happen that hurt us, they're designed by Satan to destroy us, but allowed by God to develop character. Did you get that now? They're not designed by God. They're not sent by God. They're designed by the devil to kill you. They're designed by the devil to discourage you. They're designed by the devil to push you down, but allowed by God to work your patience. And patience has to be worked. And the only thing that will work it is hardship. Amen. Now, I know, again, that's not no camp meeting message. And let's kick up the carpet and swing from the chandeliers. I'm going to put a chandelier in here. I want a chandelier in the building project. I just would like to swing from one time and get it on film. And every time I say it, they can flash it up. Wouldn't that be funny? I'm sorry. What was I talking about before I got on track? Swinging from chandeliers. But what was my point? Well, I know it's patience. That's an easy way out. Oh, developed. And hardship develops. Patience. It works the patience. Now watch this. He says that you got to know this. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting nothing. Come on. That's heavy. That's great news. God wants us to get to a place that we're lacking nothing. That we're not always walking through life feeling like we missed out. We don't have what we need and what we want. And he says, look, patience, if you'll let it have its perfect work, it will mature you. It will develop your character. And you'll be entire, wanting nothing. Lacking nothing. Wanting there means lacking nothing. Now, I was taught incorrectly that trials and tribulations perfect me. That's not what that said. Trials and tribulations do not perfect us, or I'd be the epitome of perfection. You look in the dictionary, and there's my picture under perfection. If trouble perfected us. Trouble doesn't perfect people. How we respond to trouble. How we react to trouble. What we do in times of trouble. What we believe. How we believe in trouble. Who we turn to. Do we fight or flight? Do we fight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and stand and fight the good fight of faith? Or do we get fearful and run? I'm telling you, I know people have been through more trouble than you, and they're not mature, they're not perfected, they're bitter. They're so bitter. They're mean now. They don't have a relationship with God. They don't want nothing to do with church and church people. See, they've had trials, they've had tribulations, but they didn't respond right. So instead of God using it to develop character and maturity of character, the devil used it to harden their hearts. Because they didn't respond to God. They didn't know this evidently, or like us, they just refused to act on it. Because you don't have an excuse if you go to church here. You know this. It's just we don't always do it. We get in the flesh. We get hurt. We get offended. in the wrong state of mind in hardship. And even many people, my heart really goes out to them, they think other people don't have the same problems they have or challenges. And even the preacher, you know, with the victory that I have in my life, I really have met people that really are shocked when they find out some of the things I've been through. They just think I'm coasting through life and I got some corner on God and everything's just so easy for me. Things do go well for me. I am going to live long on the earth. But that doesn't mean I have had a life independent of afflictions and tribulations and opposition and persecutions, rejection. I mean, my heart really goes out to most preachers because I have an incredible amount of favor. I mean, it's supernatural, the favor I have. And then to think about the people that don't like me and why they don't like me and the opposition I get, I can't imagine a preacher getting the opposition I get without the favor. It must be tough. It must be tough. I'm simply saying to you that tribulation will not perfect you, problems will not perfect you, but if you'll respond to God in them, they'll work your patience. And patience, if it has its perfect work, will mature you, will develop you. Listen at the New Living Translation. I'm not sure, honestly, how I'm doing on my time. Doyle, can you help me out just a little bit? It's my fault. I'm sorry. He's holding something up. It looks like my head. It's got a rope around it. What? Life is good. Amen. New Living Translation, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And I love this. I want to do a commercial one of these days. I'm going to do it. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. Amen. I love that. Brothers and sisters, do you have problems? Rejoice! That is not the natural carnal response to tribulation. I mean, something's going to happen tonight. I just know it. And right as soon as I get through preaching this, I mean, I know either tonight on the way home, I'm going to get a call, or in the morning, I'm going to show up at church, and boom, I'm going to get hit with something, and my first natural response will not be joy. Come on. Some of you are going to go to work tomorrow morning and get hit with something that hurts. It's not fair. It's complicating your life. And your first response is not going to be, I'm going to dance. It's not real. That's never going to happen after the flesh. And that's what's taken me years, too, to truly walk out personally. You know, do we morph into something and get to a point that our first initial response to someone mad at us or someone died we love or we lost our job, we come in and there's a pink slip, or I could just go on and go on. Do we come to a point that, I mean, instantly and automatically after the flesh, we rejoice and have joy? I'm not there yet. No, I have to make a choice. Amen. I know you're super saints, but I have to make a choice. And I have to grab my emotions and possess my soul. Possess my soul. Harness my soul with my patience. And I'll share that passage with you the next time we assemble. But your soul is going to want to get away from you. And a part of faith is actions contrary to emotions. And I have got to a point, and I boast in the Lord, and I make my boast in the Lord, and the Bible says the humble will hear it and be glad. When I boast in the Lord, the proud hear it and get mad. But when I boast in the Lord, the humble hear it. And they get glad because they serve the same God and they're in the same line. And so they get glad. But I have got to a point that I've disciplined. The temperance has been developed enough to not react, but to possess my soul and by faith captivate my thoughts and know this. The trying of my faith is working my patience, and patience is going to have her perfect work. I'm going to be entire, wanting or lacking nothing. What Satan meant for my harm, God means for my good. What was designed by Satan to destroy me is used by God to propel me into a life of character and integrity. And I'll at least close this with maybe some of this is Duaneology. I'm not saying I'm wrong even. I'm not saying I'm unbiblical. I'm saying in my personal life, I think God is as pleased when my emotions are about to go haywire and I choose to respond by faith and trust Him. When my emotions are hurting, when my emotions are wanting to react, I harness them and act by faith. It brings then my emotions under control. Then from the heart, it doesn't take me long at all that, wow, praise God. God, I love God. All things are going to work together for my good. Because I love God and I'm called according to His purpose. That whatever Satan throws at me through faith and patience, I'm going to inherit the promises. And you do get stronger in character and you do get tougher. I'll close with this. I don't want to name any names, but I met with an elder one time and there was a particular preacher that I esteemed highly and he was being attacked in writings, magazines. He's being called a cult, being called all that. I'm reading that stuff and I'm going, oh my God, this is a great preacher. And these are Christians, so-called Christians, calling him a cult. And it's written down in a magazine. And I'm thinking, I couldn't handle that. They're just, wow, it would destroy me. And that particular elder looked at me and said, hey, right now it probably would. But as you keep serving God and as you keep believing God and as you keep stepping out, you'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. And there'll come a day you'll be able to respond to something like that just like he's responding to it right now. He's not giving it any attention and it ain't bothering him a bit. He ain't losing no sleep. You won't lose no sleep. And I thought, well, I don't know. Because I'm losing sleep even thinking about it might happen. Come on, you've been there losing sleep on something that hadn't even happened. You might lose your job. Your spouse might walk. And if your wife walks, you have to do the laundry and you're scared. Hit him again. Hallelujah. How many of you know we're all growing? We're all maturing. And these little bitty problems, you'd be surprised if you'll respond by faith and turn to God in them. Even the seemingly insignificant stress things or little problems, act on your faith. Wow, it gets easier. And then you act on your faith, then a bigger problem comes. You act on your faith and a bigger problem comes. Now you're being prepared for big things in the kingdom because you have need of patience. And after you've done the will of God, you'll receive the promises. Amen. Were you blessed? Yes. Amen. Let's stand. Let me pray for you.